the message that I would like to, I've titled it today, is Giving Thanks. We know that we are approaching earlier in the season, we should be giving thanks all the time, but especially now we are in this season of Thanksgiving. As we celebrate this Thanksgiving season with family and friends, let's consider what really means to be thankful. What does it really mean? Words alone do not necessarily express genuine thankfulness, but an action reveals the heart. I'm not saying that if someone gives you a gift, you are obligated to return the gift. That is not what I'm saying, but actions reveal the heart. Several years ago, I took a college course in business letterbox, and also a class in public speaking. In both of these classes, the professors emphasized the importance of avoiding the use of words that are used over and over again, and they lose their power. They lose their strength of the original meaning. And we were advised to use different words and apply more powerful ways to convey a message. I think that may apply in our lives today. There are words or expressions that no longer have the impact and the depth that they once had. We take them for granted. We say thank you or thanks and don't think more about it. They become meaningless or redundant in the context in which we are using. It is difficult to listen to a speaker that uses words as just, you know, that repeatedly as a filler. And we tend sometimes to say something just as a filler, but we need to have something that comes from the heart. Sometimes there are speakers that say, you know, all the time, or even praise God, but it's a filler. But does it lose its impact? I'm not saying we do not praise God. Always give praise to Him. Does it come from the heart? So how do we genuinely express thankfulness? Is just saying thanks for thank you enough? It is commendable that we use these expressions and that we teach our children to say thank you and to say excuse me and to say words that are show that they are reverent and honoring of others. But being truly thankful requires more than words. It involves an action as well. I look in Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 12 through 19, where Jesus came, the lepers were there, 10 lepers, and Jesus was going into a village. And they stood at the distance, and they called in a loud voice. They stood at a distance because they could not get close to him because of their disease. It was against the law. And they said, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. That was the law. You go and show. Before you can mix in the public, you must show yourself and be declared clean. They had an action that was required before they even knew whether or not they were well. One of them, when he saw him was healed as the wind, one of them came back praising God. I want you to hear this part is special. Praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. He was not even a Jewish man. There was an action involved in his showing thanks. Jesus said, where are the others? They did not come back. And then I look in Luke, the 7th chapter, and we see there where one of the Pharisees, who strictly adheres to the law and is very rigid in conforming to the law. He asked Jesus to come and eat with him. And as Jesus went there and he was eating with him, there was a sinful woman who came. and she did not come before him, she was behind him. And it says that she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And she stood behind Jesus at his feet, crying. She recognized her need and her gratitude for knowing that he was the one who could forgive her. She dried her his feet with her hair, and she washed them with her tears, and she kissed them with many times and rubbed them with the perfume. She displayed an action that showed how thankful she was to know him and have his forgiveness. And when of course the Pharisees said, if you were really a prophet, Jesus, you wouldn't have detected that this is a sinful woman. Sometimes we have the idea that we are so special and so holy that we cannot be contaminated with any people. I'm going to say we should partake of sin, but we need to immerse ourselves with those who have a need and minister to their need. And Jesus said to the Pharisee, whose name was Simon, he said, I have something to say to you. And he told him, he said, there was an incident. Someone who owed 50 bills and somebody who owed 500. He said they were forgiven because they could not pay it. Who would love for it? And Simon said, well, I guess the one who's been forgiven for it. And sometimes we don't recognize when God has forgiven somebody, their love is so much greater, and the display that they give, the action that shows that their thankfulness is amazing. And so Jesus said to Simon, he said, when I came into your house, he said, you didn't give me any water for my feet, and she washed my feet. And he prepared, he said, the things that you did, you did not do. But she has done this. And then he said, her faith, her sins are forgiven. And so this was an action. She did not say thank you. She acted on that thankfulness. And then I look at David when he was fleeing from King Saul in 1 Samuel. He requested provisions for his men. Remember, he was fleeing and he went and asked Nabal, Abigail's husband. He was a very wealthy man, and he asked him for provision. So we read there, one of the servants told Abigail, she was not aware that he had asked Nabal. And Nabal cursed him and said, who are you? I wouldn't give anything to you. You're just like enough nobody. But you see, Abigail recognized that God had anointed David to be the king. And she knew that God's plan was that he was going to lead the nation of Israel. And so one of the servants told Abigail, and David sent the messengers from the wilderness to give our master these greetings, she said. And he hurled insults at him. They gave Abigail this message. And they said that these men were very good to us. They protected us. They were like a hedge around us when we were out there. They did good for us, and yet Nabal refused provision. What did Abigail do? She acted very quickly. And she took bread, loaves of bread, and wine, and sheep, and all the food, the provisions that they needed immediately. And she loaded them on the donkeys, and she went to David. And when Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David. She showed humility, humble. She was not bowing down to him because he was a man that she esteemed so powerful, but she recognized the anointing of God upon his life. And she bowed down with her face to the ground and fell at his feet and said, pardon your servant. She took the responsibility. She said, let me speak to you. Listen to what I have to say. And so she told him that this kid, which I brought to give to the men to follow me. She recognized and acted of what she needs to do. And she said, God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord. She knew that God had a plan for David's life. And so that action was portrayed or displayed in what she did. It was thankfulness for what he had done and what God was going to do. We remember we talked about the citizenship. The young who didn't tell came before David. He did not act in a he had an action of humility. He humbled himself with gratitude for the favor of David. And there was not just the words that he spoke, but the action displayed. And then Daniel, God blessed Daniel, who was a Jew that was brought as a captive from Jerusalem to Babylon at the age of 12 years old, and had yet the wisdom of God in his life. Say, will we send our kids to children's church? Yes, we do. We want them to be taught the honor and the glory that God has for them. And so here, Daniel was, and he became one of the wise men in Nebuchadnezzar's palace. When the king forgot his dream, whenever Daniel prayed, and the dream was revealed and his interpretation, Daniel did not take credit for this revelation. Sometimes we think that we're special because we receive a revelation, but Daniel realized it was God. And he gave thanks to God with the prayer of thanksgiving. And he said, I offer thanks and praise to you, God of my fathers, because you have given me wisdom and power. And now you have let me know what we ask of you, for you have let us know the king's wisdom. We have to recognize it is not us, but it is God. He gives us his wisdom and gives us his anointing. Daniel thanked God for answered prayers, and then he faced another situation in his life. You remember? During the reign of King Darius, when he was ordered that he could, no one could, Darius was kind of tricked into making his mandate that no one could pray to anybody but him. That decree that only to the king could they pray. But in the sixth chapter of Daniel, we read that when Daniel learned that the document had been signed, listen to this. He went into his house, to the upstairs room where the windows were open, toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed and gave thanks to God, just as he had done before. We live in time right now where we are being mandated certain things, and I'm not going to tell you what you shouldn't do. Still remember the command of God. Do what you've always done. Continue to pray and to trust Him. We do not give up and say, well, we aren't allowed to do this. No. You know that Daniel was punished for being true to his convictions, even though things didn't go his way. He prayed, and then what happened? They threw him in the lion's den. It looked like everything was lost. He wasn't. God came through. God miraculously rescued him. There is a wrong kind of thankfulness, a prayer that we don't ever want to pray. Sometimes people are guilty of it. And I look in Luke, the 18th chapter, where the two men went to the temple to pray, Pharisee and the other tax collectors. You know, the tax collectors were despised and hated because they took money that they really weren't allowed to take or supposed to take, but they were permitted to do that. The Pharisees stood by himself and prayed, God, here's a guy that goes right by the law and he thinks he's very righteous. He said, I thank you that I'm not like other people. And who are evildoers and adulterers, or even like a tax collector. sometimes we have the idea that we have are so holy, we have walked to such a straight and narrow path, and we are so good. And we thank God that, and we do thank God that He has forgiven us. But we could go down the street, any wretched area in the country, and we could look and say, there am I saved for the grace of God. I would be there if it were not for the grace of Jesus. But the tax collector stood at this distance. He did not feel worthy to even come close to the presence of God in the temple. He wouldn't be, he did not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, sin. Humility and action shows the true gratefulness that a person has. Not us declaring how righteous we are, for the Bible says, he's at home justified before God. He says, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus is our example of giving thanks, I think, of when he fed the 5,000. In Mark, the 6th chapter, it talks about, it says, he taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, that's all he had. 5 loaves and 2 fish, the little boy had. And looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks. Sometimes we say, well, I'll give that thanks when I see the great provisions God has given to me. But Jesus gave thanks when there was not enough. He said, thank you that you have provided this. And then he gave them to the disciples to distribute, and there was enough. In fact, they took up 12 baskets afterward. He gave thanks. He is our example. We thank him when it looks like there is nothing, not enough, when there's nothing going our way. We give thanks anyway. There's a story that I would like to share with you that I thought speaks about thankfulness and the action. And I just want to read it. There was a poor boy who was selling goods from door to door to pay his way through school. He found he had only one thin dime left, and he was hungry. Now, you may not remember this in your day, but this is the way it was in times past. He decided he would ask for a meal at the next house, but he lost his nerve when a lovely young woman opened the door. Instead of a meal, he asked for a drink of water. She thought he looked hungry, so she brought him a large glass of milk. He drank it slowly and then asked, how much do I owe you? You see, he didn't take for granted that what was given was he deserved. And she said, you owe me nothing. My mother taught us never to accept pay. He said, then I thank you from the depths of my heart. As Howard Kelly, that young man, left that house, he not only felt stronger physically, but his faith in God and in man was strengthened. He had been ready to give up and ready to quit. Years later, that young woman became critically ill. The local doctors were baffled. They finally sent her to the big city where they all called in specialists to study her rare case, her disease. Dr. Howard Kelly, now a doctor, was called in for the consultation. When he heard the name of the town she came from, a strange light filled his eyes. Immediately he rose and went down the hall of the hospital to the room. Dressed in his doctor's gown, he went in to see her, and he recognized her at once. He went back to the consultation room, determined to do his best to save her life. From that day, he gave special attention to the case, and after a long struggle, the battle was won. She was cured. Dr. Kelly requested that the business office pass the final bill to him for his approval. He looked at it, wrote something on the edge, and the bill was sent to her room. She was afraid to open it, knowing she was sure it would take the rest of her life to pay for it all. Finally, she looked, and something caught her attention on the side of the bill. She read the words, "Paid in full," with one glass of milk. It was signed, "Dr. Howard." Tears of joy flooded her eyes as her happy heart prayed, "Thank you, God, that your love has spread abroad through human hearts and hands." Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, "Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." We express our thanksgiving by our actions, not just by word, but by actions. I think of a little song that when I was a kid in the children's church, there was a song that we sang. It said, "What you are speaks so loud that the world can't hear what you're saying. And judging by your walk, not listening to your talk, you may brag about what you are, but that's not what they see. The world sees how you act. What are your actions? They're judging by your actions every day." That is true in our lives. We can say, "I'm thankful. I appreciate something," and our words may be very shallow, but when our actions speak our thankfulness and our gratitude, because when you do it to one of the least of these, we've done it as if it were Jesus. I'm telling you that Jesus gave his life for us, and we need to give our lives for him as a living sacrifice. Not as a dead one, but as a living sacrifice. We do the things that Jesus would do for others, and he gave his life for them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time, this season, especially when we are reminded of your grace to us. We are reminded of how much we need to be thankful. I pray that you will help us show it in our actions, in everything that we do, everything we say. May it reflect your glory. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that opportunity to reflect you. If you are today watching this telecast, you say, "Well, I have not really given my life to Jesus," I implore you to do so now. It's the greatest decision that you have ever made, to give your life to the one who gave his life for you. He wants you to give his life and to live for him. He died for you so that you can live for him. If you would like to be a part of the kingdom of God and you want him in your life, I ask you to stop saying words that exist believing in your heart and accepting his grace. I ask you to pray this prayer with me, Heavenly Father. I ask you to come into my life today. I am a sinner. I recognize and need you. I thank you that you paid the penalty for my sins. And I receive you in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you today for joining us at Living Waters Community Church in Casper, Arizona. May the Lord's blessings be upon you this week. If you have been blessed and you have received Christ, you would like to know it. Let us know. May the Lord bless you.
Therapist told me, "Well, in a couple of years, you should be perfectly normal." I want us to be the people. I want us to be the place of
Before we go, is there anyone here today that wants special prayer? We have a need. We have a God that answers prayer. We have, you know, Grace, I should ask you to tell this. You can tell it better than I can. We go preach to all. But anyway, Grace, remember that we had prayed for this little boy that I told you before, and his name was Abel. Because they said we're named from Abel because when he was born, the doctor said there's no hope. His heart is, I don't know, all the stuff that was wrong with it. And they said we believe God is Abel and we're naming him Abel. I saw that little boy. A beautiful little boy. God healed him. He's got the most beautiful big brown eyes and so vibrant and running around and he's so alert. And God is a miracle working God.
Yes, he is.
And we've seen miracles. We see Betty is here with us today. And other things that I can tell you about. If you know miracles in your life, but be the testimony. Be the one.